Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your on-time cousin, Cousin Shane. Hey, buddy, what's going on? Oh, we are back from Media Days. Mike is working. Here's what's happened, I think. I think he was the one that procrastinated and put his camera on late. So instead of waiting any longer, let's jump in to some action. Before we get started, I want to remind the cousins that we are brought to you by Tennessee Legend Distillery. Thank you so much for this company making us to have. I would say this. I think it was the most epic Media Days ever. I mean, Mike has been busy, and he's going to continue to be busy because we have got tons and tons of actions heading your way. Awesome interviews already posted, but Mike is working diligently to make sure they all get out. I think we had 40-something total. So you're going to get all kinds of action around the league, and we wouldn't have been able to do it without Tennessee Legend Distillery. So if you do get to the Smoky Mountains, be sure to stop off and see our family over there. They got two locations, one by Tarjay, the other one on the other side of Sevier County. They also got one in Nashville. And not only will you get a discount, but you will also get a bonus gift. So while Mike's trying to figure out his cameras, I figured we'd take this opportunity to answer some questions. Oh, somebody's on the stage. Come on now.
Hey, buddy.
What's going on, brother?
I've been working so hard to edit and get tonight's show ready.
Yeah.
Then I looked over and I forgot. Nothing set up from when I left from today. So I had to build this set real quick.
Well, real quick, check your mics. I think one of them's on a power cord because you're getting some feedback from your mic there. But yeah, I figured you pulled a classic Cousin Shane, right? Honestly, I thought about this earlier. I was in this room getting everything set up, and I was like, you know what? I should go ahead and set up my camera, and thank God I did because I lost a wire somehow and was able to figure it out right before we're jumping on. So, but I was just telling the cousins, I appreciate all the work you've been putting in, Mike, behind the scenes. I think Kyle said it best. We're almost there. We can get us an editor. And when that happens, Mike will completely be set. He won't have to unplug or, replug any of this stuff.
I'll still do it probably.
I'll
still be unplugging stuff just to mix it up. Keep you on your toes.
This control freak, I'm telling you.
So, what's it like when getting home? I mean, favorite thing about being back home, Shane?
I mean, honestly, I thought it would be pretty, and I could at least get one round of golf in. Has yet to happen. The best thing, honestly, was the wife and the dogs, and then the kids. That order. The dogs love me a lot more than my kids do, I feel like sometimes. But the wife, she made a home-cooked meal today, and nothing against Media Day hot dogs. What is that, Dr. Pepper hot dogs or anything, or even Tampa food. We had some really good food, but there's just something special about a home-cooked meal from your beloved wife. So that has been the best part, not to mention – I'm a routine guy. I mean, obviously I wear the same shirts I wear. I mean, I am just, once I find something I like to keep doing it. And when I'm out of that element, it's a little stressful. So I was happy to get back. The flight was good. I got to sit by Trey Wallace. Thank God nobody was on the other side. So whoever decided not to take that flight, good for you. But it was a smooth sailing ride back home. But I'm glad to be back in East Tennessee, Mike.
Hey, Savos wants to know, did you keep that fire extinguisher?
I don't know. What if you would have saw it on the shelf back here?
All right. Well, hey, I thought it would be kind of fun because we always miss every damn thing at Media Days when the coaches are talking.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd just kind of do our own edition of the Media Days Rewind, break it down day by day. So this is like Media Days day one.
Yeah.
I've gone back and listened to, not be honest, Shay, not a ton was said. That was interesting.
Yes.
But I grabbed like two or three clips from each coach that went day one so I could present it to you, so I could present it to the cousins, because I'm sure most of them listen to their coach, but they probably have got better things to do with their time than sit around and listen to the other coaches. But there may be one segment here, one segment there that is noteworthy. So I've got that. And I, of course, we got to talk about this, Shane, the Media Day poll. Shane came out with his. People didn't. I thought they didn't like my rankings. They didn't like your rankings either. But here's the official one from the media boys here, Shane. And you tell me what, you know, your honest reaction, Shane. Georgia 1, Texas 2. That stunned me because,
yeah,
I've seen it from the media, I don't know if I'd call them legit media, but Texas podcasters and things like that, and Texas fans. Oh, I thought you guys said it was nothing Texas. But, I mean, literally, everybody we talked to, short of maybe a handful of people, everybody was that we spoke, and again, we did 40-plus interviews, they said Texas is the team to beat. So the fact that Georgia was the pick, that surprised the hell out of me.
It did me too, but I will say this, Mike, if this poll, because they do not collect the picks until Thursday, right? They don't open it up till Wednesday. So I'm telling you right now, brother, I feel like if you would have took these, like as we're checking into the hotel, they gave you a pick. I feel like Texas would have been one, but then you got Rusty handing out flyers and, you know, Dog Nation coming over saying, don't sleep on them dogs. And it almost became like Georgia had to be a sexy pick. Does that make sense? It was not for me. Week, like day one, Texas won it. But I felt like the push for Georgia hit later in the week.
No, I think that's fair. And how about this, Shane? Ole Miss voted number three.
Ooh, now
how interesting is that?
I thought this was very interesting because there was a real big push for LSU. A lot of people liking LSU. So I honestly, I didn't see the like how many points each team got, but I would imagine these next three were pretty damn close.
So A&M 4, I'm not stunned by that. A little bit higher, I think, than each of us have A&M, but. Again, we're talking three of the top four last year, all playoff teams. The exception is Texas.
Yeah.
LSU 5. So Ole Miss 3, Texas A&M 4, LSU 5. You're kind of putting those in their own tier.
Yeah, those are in their own tier right now as far as voting, right? In my opinion. This next one is kind of in a group of their own, and that's 6, 7, and 8. I felt like.
6, 7. Okay, so Bama 6, Oklahoma 7.
Yeah,
I don't know what people are thinking that, but again, that's their call. Tennessee 8. Thoughts on 6, 7, 8 here?
This is kind of that mix, you know, when you're looking at what 7 and 5, 8 and 5s, you know, Vegas kind of where you're going to be sitting. I mean, from 6 to 8. Actually, from 5 to 8, you're probably going to be anywhere from 9 to 8 wins. So, again, I feel like it's a little bit of a grouping here. But let's not forget, this is everyone's list. This isn't that SEC podcast. We've already done ours, and most of you disagreed with it. But I felt like Tennessee making a push to 8 was pretty impressive.
And then we got Florida 9, Mizzou 10, Carolina 11. Auburn 12. Anything stand out to you with that little tier?
Yeah, I think the Florida Gators ahead of Mizzou and South Carolina, right? Because you're talking new coaches. When I look down here, I see Arkansas, I see Kentucky, I see Auburn. But then you got the Florida Gators ahead of Mizzou and South Carolina. So that one kind of a surprise. But, you know, after you've talked to a couple of guests or after you fell in love with John Sumrall and his well manicured pedicured toes, yeah, maybe you just started buying back in.
All right, and then rounded out Vanderbilt 13, Kentucky 14, Mississippi State 15, Arkansas 16.
Disrespect, right?
Well,
I just listen.
I feel like that's a pretty consensus there. Bottom. Well, I know you got Auburn all the way down there, but everybody else, if you're going to put four teams at the bottom, I think these are the four.
Yeah, I feel like the fan base, I should say, feels disrespected, feels shorted here. And,
gotcha.
You know, Vanderbilt, obviously a lot of question marks now that Pavia is gone. And I talked about the new coaches at Kentucky and Arkansas, but Mississippi State, man, I just, they were not sexy. Nobody talked about them a lot there at media days, but to sit below a couple of these teams, I think was offensive.
To me, Shay, this is a little too much like what happened last year.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I feel like a lot of people are not,
except for Vanderbilt.
I'm not throwing shade at the media guys, but I'm just not a fan of this poll whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about it with somebody. I think it was Carter Carls. You know, like Rusty, he's in a league of his own, knows everything about Georgia, right?
Yes.
What can he tell you about Oklahoma's roster? I mean,
right.
Probably not a whole lot, right? Sooner Scoop guys, they cover Oklahoma amazingly well. What could they tell you about Vanderbilt's roster? You know, and yeah. I mean, we could literally just keep going on and on, and that doesn't mean they're not doing a good job. They're doing their job. But why we have all these people vote for the entire SEC, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, another thing too, Mike, is this is how they finish in the SEC, not power rankings, which I feel like a lot of people do this list as, you know. So there's some teams in this conference that I feel like has an easier road. Some teams aren't going to play maybe some of those, some of that you have together there, like a Florida and a Tennessee. They're not going to play each other this year. So, I feel like that's what happens a lot of time. It's a knee-jerk reaction to just put who you are in love with. But, that's why this list is wrong and mine was right.
And then how about this, Shade? So this is official. This is how it was voted. Who's going to win the league? And again, it wasn't even close. So Georgia got 88 votes to win the Southeastern Conference in the official media poll. Texas was second with 57. Nobody got more than six votes the rest of the way. So
no. I just remember Georgia, Nick Roush was there.
Yeah, who the hell voted? Kentucky got a vote. That's pretty asinine. Yeah. Like, Ole Miss, six votes. A&M, five. Bama, three. Oklahoma 2, LSU 2.
I feel like the coaches poll, you know, they tell you who voted, right? I feel like that needs to happen media day. If you're gonna call out Kentucky, you know what I'm saying? You need to sign that shit.
Hey, how about Wildman Carl over here, Shane? He's gearing up for the season.
Mm-hmm.
He's already firing coaches, Shane.
Falls
by 50. Baber fired. Crazy season. I can agree with two of those. You know what?
Carl, your thumbnail gets wilder every time I see you. You're just showing off now.
How about Michael Dunlap? Falls by 50. 63-38.
I think that... Also, you got to remember my first media day, there was one team that was selected as a SEC championship. That was Texas A&M, and that was yours truly. So maybe it was a first year guy, and he's just got to get his mistakes out of the way.
Yeah, for a guy that hates A&M, you were the only one that voted for him that year.
I know. Even wide receivers getting arrested, I was like, I don't care. It's meant to happen, you know?
And so here's the breakdown of the voting just individually. So not first place votes, but just total votes. And this is, again, this is how they come up with the poll itself. So,
Right. Again,
not a huge separation. Georgia, Texas here. Ole Miss, you know, pretty good. Not much separation. A&M, LSU, like you said, that's kind of a tier right there.
Actually,
Bama.
I think you could – that's a tier right there in itself. You look at – I'd say 2000. So Ole Miss, Texas A&M, LSU, Alabama, and Oklahoma. I mean, we're talking less than 70 votes, 60, what is that, 50 votes between them. But then right. There is a noticeable drop off to Tennessee. So they're making it sound like that's a whole different tier.
I think I skewed the Tennessee voting, I guess. You know what?
Yeah, yeah. 13-20. Yeah, you did bring it up quite a bit and actually got me excited. Probably had them higher than they should, but 13-20, you got Tennessee. You got 12-17 Florida, Mizzou at 11-05. So those are kind of in a grouping there. And then that's when you're going to drop below 1,000. And that's South Carolina, 956, 936 to Auburn. Then another step down, Vanderbilt 750, and then Kentucky at 5, Mississippi State at 4, and Arkansas Razorbacks, no respect, 262.
Yeah, that 262, that's rough.
That's rough. That's in Rhodes' locker room right now. Locker, he's going to kill some players this year.
And then here's how they voted for the All-SEC offense, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise, Trinidad first team quarterback, Arch second team, Gunner third team. It's kind of hard to, I mean, there's a lot of great quarterbacks, but it's kind of hard to argue with that. Those are the three that I have at the top of my list.
Yeah, those are the three that keep coming up, honestly, in a lot of that order too. So, yeah, no complaints there.
Man. Ooh, and then Lacey and Hardy, first team running back. Ball Frazier, second team. Bishop and Smothers. Whoa, what has Smothers done to get that? But he's third team.
Yeah, here's the thing, man. After half the running backs and maybe your favorite two receivers, this list gets a little rough, right? You know, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know all these players, but I was kind of surprised with the running, you know, because there's some dudes. I like you said, Bishop, Ball, Lacey. Nothing against Hardy, but we don't even know, right? I mean, we're talking 5 to 8 weeks. I kind of, when I was doing my list, I even threw Roberts in there just because. So somebody's going to tote the rock. Somebody will be a leading running back on that football team. We just got to see how that plays out. But
how many Hollywood people you Smothers? Think, Shane? We got Jordan Seaton here. He was voted first team LSU. Now he's their big left tackle. They paid I don't know what they paid, but I can't imagine it was cheap. And then Kiffin comes out here and is like, hey, he's the first lineman to ever have a Nike deal. How many people heard that? And they were like, oh, I'm voting for him. You know what?
Probably. I mean, but there is – right before he jumped on a viral video of his girlfriend, Seton's girlfriend, with like 7 brand new purses, different colors and stuff. So there was a little bit of talk there. But, you know, it's funny. There was a graphic floating around that showed LSU had 2 players, their quarterback and, of course, Seton, both making more than LeBron James up there in Philly, which was surprising.
I
who got a better deal, Mike? I LSU. Think I missed that one.
All right, then here's all the defensive voting.
Yes,
again, not a ton of surprises here. Mm-mm. Colin Simmons, he's elite. Will Eccles, Dylan Stewart, Prince Will. That's your first team defensive line. David Stone, Elijah Griffith, Taylor Wine, Quincy Rhodes. Good night. We got a lot of good linemen, Shane.
Yes,
in the SEC. Whit Weeks, Xavier Atkins, Rasheem Biles are the first teamers at linebacker. Raylan Wilson, Suntarine Perkins, Kip Lewis at second team. Arion Carter, TJ Dottery, Yonsei Pierre. Damn, the linebackers might be even better than the linemen. I mean, geez. And then defensive back, KJ Bolton, Xavier Brown, Bray Hubbard, Ellis Robinson, excuse me. 2 Georgia, 2 Bama, secondary, first team. How about that, Shane? I mean, I've seen a lot of transfers on here.
Yeah.
Ooh. Again, yeah, that's what you want for when you get a transfer and you pay them all the big bucks, but doesn't always translate, Shane, to immediate impact. So that's going to be kind of interesting, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And I feel like maybe that gives them a little bit of a leg up, right? Because we're being told how good they are and how much a team should pay to get them on their roster, you know? So Now, this one on the opposite, you talked about at Media Days, I feel like should be more team oriented, right? Mm-hmm. Like you should put on there, hey, this guy is a 10 out of, you know, 10. So I don't know. At some point here, you're just picking names.
Well, that's what we had to do for the special teamers. Now, we know the kickers because they make some big kicks. We got short State Sandale, first-team kicker. Yep. Lucas Canero, awesome kicker for Ole Miss. Won him the damn Sugar Bowl. And then our guy, Alex McPherson, the best kicker that's ever spoke to us, third team. How many people wrote him down because they were like, damn, they brought him. He must be good.
Yeah, because you know probably two kickers' names, right? Tate, the short shorts, and then, what's that Auburn's guy? Alex, yeah.
We got a which one of these long snappers do you vote for? Do you remember?
No, he's not on here. Tennessee.
Look at they got kickoff specialist. They got Terry Bussey on there. I mean, I guess it counts kick. They got kickers and then they got a kick returner.
Yeah, that one confused me. That one, I didn't want to ask because I was too. I mean, we're at the tail end of this thing, so I think I did do both. Right? That may be my exact list right here. Damn, they just copied my list.
Hey, you know who I hope you don't copy?
Who's that?
Old, Krusty Tip. Here's 19 months, Krusty Tip.
Hell yeah.
He's had a Krusty Tip and been a member for 19 months. We appreciate you, old Krusty.
Thank you, Krusty. I appreciate you, cuz.
So anything else stand out to you about Media Days or just anything in general?
Well, just I can't stop thinking about it now, right? We always talk about the upcoming season with the list and all that bullshit, but after Media Days, it's almost here. You know what I'm saying? It just feels like the kids are going to be showing up. I mean, it's almost August. When August kicks at the end of the month, we're going to have some week zero action. So it's getting real. Plans are being made, Mike. You know what I'm saying? We got to go see some of these games. So that's the part for me. It feels like it's in the fast lane and I don't want to get out of it because it feels like it's here, even though I know we got to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, and I just love the optimism, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody's feeling good. We're all overachieving. All these lists are horseshit. My team's going to do better.
This guy knows ball. Sucks. This guy knows ball. That's my favorite. It feels like a kid, you know, when you're a kid and they start putting Christmas lights up. You know, it's not Christmas, but it's Christmas time.
To me, it's like riding a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Just like, like we're getting excited, you know. Then you get to the top, and a lot of us are just gonna fall like an AM rock, you know what?
I know, not my team, not my team.
Well, speaking of that, Shay, let's kick it to Josh Heupel. Now, again, we referenced this, but we didn't play it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was his best comments from old Media Days.
Lane Kiffin made his return to Knoxville in your first year as a head coach. Things got a bit spicy. Do you think that fan base has kind of cooled off? And what do you expect in November when LSU comes to town?
Certainly hope our fan base hasn't cooled off. So, whether it's the grocery stores being fully stocked with mustard or, our sports stores, making sure that they got reinforcements on the golf balls. Hopefully Knoxville's ready for his arrival.
Ooh, you got your reinforced golf balls there, Shay?
Hell yeah, I got some right over here, cuz. Yeah, my aim's a little better this year, coach.
Oh man, it's still hard to believe that he actually said that. You know what?
Honestly,
he's kidding. You know, he's not encouraging people to throw shit. But I feel like some people got upset about it, allegedly. I feel like if Kiffin said this, they'd be like, crazy Kiffin. You know what I mean? Like, some people get the benefit of the doubt and some people don't.
Just stop. You know, I mean, don't be, what they say, don't be a Karen. Don't be a Karen. All right, we're just having some fun. Coach ain't telling you to go buy some golf ball. Even though if Coach told me to go buy golf balls and throw it, I'm still not going to do that, Mike. You know what I'm saying? Golf balls are expensive, even my Amazon balls. But I'm just saying, I like that he said it, because so many times we come to media days and it's, I mean, we had to dig deep to find Coach clips, right? Because it got so boring, Coach speak over and over again. We're turning over a new leaf here, and these guys are lightening up, and you want to criticize him? So what? He comes out next time and says boring shit the whole time? Come on, get out of here.
Well, I'll be honest. Most of the other stuff he said was pretty damn boring, Shane. But I know. I do got one other one from Coach Hype. He, you know, again, a million times got asked about the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I just like the fact that he says, hell, we just roll out a different one every year, and we got a top offense.
Hey, Coach. Steve Moulton, 97.7 ESPN The Zone in Huntsville, Alabama. I hope you're doing well.
I am. Thank you.
One of the bigger questions I had this time last year was your quarterback room, and Joey answered that in a big, big way. And I had the same questions, Coach. Yeah. So tell me about your quarterback room and what do you like about it?
Yeah, there's going to come a day where I come back in here and we got a return starter. It's been 5 years here, and I was talking with Bill Martin, our sports information director, and you know, 7 out of the last 9 years, we've had a new starting quarterback in our history with our staff, and 7 out of the last 9 years, we've been top 10 in the country in scoring, too. So we have two young guys that are competing at a really high level. They've continued to grow. There's a lot on their plate. Look forward to seeing them learn it, earn it, and take a job during the course of training camp. I think that's important for his teammates to see that, garner that trust and respect from the other guys that you're going to be on the field with. Excited about who we have, and I think it's really important. I mentioned the offensive line earlier. It's important that those guys play at a high level. We have a lot of experience coming back at our skill positions on the offensive side of the football. Going to be important that they're doing their job at a really high level. And ultimately, when you have a young quarterback, you got to tie everything together. We got to play really good defense, and special teams got to be on point.
Well, Shane, it's a good thing they got one hell of an offensive line. You know what? But he's 100% right. A lot of times we go into the season being like, hey, this is going to be a strength here.
Yeah.
And then it turns out to not be the case. And then if Tennessee doesn't have good offensive line play, I don't think they got a prayer this year.
I think that's why most Tennessee fans aren't worried. You know, he made the comment 5 years in a row. This is something Josh Heupel has proved he can do. So I have full confidence in Josh. And also to say this, man, a lot of pep in the step. Now, this, granted, was before the DGG news, so I don't know if that's related, but I'll tell you, this is out of every time I've seen him down at one of these things was the most hype, pun intended, he's ever been. So
I don't know if those coaches get too confident during a recruitment until it's, I mean, hell, it's still not until they sign. You know what I mean? But yeah. How many times do you think they go into a commitment and then they think they got them, and then midnight, you know, 11th hour, they switch, you know?
Oh, I know. I, in fact, on the way back, that's the one question I had for Trey. I was like, yeah, if they sign these contracts, can he get out?
Hey, shout out. Carl gave us another donation, and he updated his image for you, Shane. He updated an updated thumbnail. Favorite meal from media day?
Favorite meal? I would say the steak we ate with Paul. That was delicious. That was pricey, too. Thanks for picking up the bill, ESPN.
Shane, a lot of steaks, I've noticed. You're a big steak man these days, huh?
Well, just getting the protein, you know, and it's tough to do it sometimes, you know. That was good. Plus, that place you took me, that last one was really good. I've never had the avocado thing like that before, and brother, I'd eat that every day.
I had to drag you there. You're glad you were.
I know. Now, I was very, the meal process was tough to order. You know, I kept trying to say, yeah, but can you see Mike got this mushroom steak thing, right? And I thought it was.
Everybody's heard of a Philly cheesesteak, right?
Yeah.
So it's shaved beef, cheese, and onions. And Shane said, oh, that sounds good.
And mushrooms.
He ordered one. No mushrooms, please. So there's three things here. He didn't want one of them. And he said, can you throw a hamburger patty? And I told him, I was like, I don't think you could do that. He's like, just watch me. And the waiter, I thought the waiter was going to fall over.
Yeah, I misread it. The way it looked, though, was like it was a mushroom steak. So I was thinking, you know, don't they make steaks that are like big mushrooms or mushrooms? They call them steaks or something. So that's what I thought. I was like, damn, Mike's getting healthy. I said, get that mushroom out of there and put a hamburger in there. And then I thought it would be kind of like a patty melt. And so when I'm explaining this guy and he's like, yeah, I guess we could do that. He goes, so do you want the steak? I was like, wait, is there real steak in it? He said, yeah. And I was like, well, just do that. You know? So he's like, all right, I hope you never come back to Tampa.
Well, now that Shane only eats prime rib steaks, we got to help pay for those bad boys. Head on over to SeatGeek.com. Use that promo code SEC10. Football season right around the corner, Shane. If you're going to go to these games, you might as well save yourself 10%. Doesn't cost you a thing. SeatGeek's completely free. They've got millions and millions and millions of users for concerts and sports, of course. If you want, maybe you want to go see a music act. While you can't, I mean, we ain't going to do that during football, but we still got some time. That's a good way to burn up some a night before college football gets here. So go check them out, SeatGeek.com. And don't forget, most importantly, that promo code SEC10. That's how you get 10% off your full order. I'll put a link in the show notes. Go check them out, SeatGeek.com. We need to be able to pay for Shane's steaks this football season. So go check them out, SeatGeek.com, promo code SECT.
Can't go wrong with it, cuz get the you said don't do a concert now. I told my wife, I said, listen, I'm off this weekend. Whatever you want to do, it's your weekend. Cuz I'm
during football, don't get the concert.
Oh, no. I'm getting the deposits in now, man, cuz it's like, hey, cuz I ain't gonna see you for about 15 weeks. I mean, I could if she wants to be a part of this awesome football action.
Well, speaking of awesome football action, Shane, I love this from Brent Venables. Everybody's like, 9-game. Oh, my God, how are we going to survive? You know, is SEC even going to get a playoff team in? Well, here's what Brent Venables says about the damn 9-game SEC schedule.
Will Cobble, WBRZ TV in Baton Rouge.
Hey, Michael.
Just curious your experiences with the playoff scenario as it unfolds now, and has it affected your feelings towards the 9-game conference schedule?
Listen, I like a challenge. You know, we've got tremendous challenge this league, top to bottom. We know that. I don't need to stand out in front and be a solvent for you know the league. It speaks for itself. You know, we're a great example of, look, man, just focus and control what you can control. You know, last year we needed to. I think going into November, I think the ESPN statistic, we know it's not really right, but at the end of the day, I think there was a less than 2% chance that Oklahoma was going to go 4-0. Tennessee, at Alabama, and then with Missouri and LSU to finish things up. But if we went 4-0 on the same graphic, it said we had a 98.9% chance of going to the playoffs. So, you know, you can't get to 4 until you get to 1, and I love the challenge of, you know, you're back against the wall and this is a game of doing, it's a game of performance, it's a game of, you know, earning your way, and certainly our guys did. That was our experience a year ago, and so I'm all for that. You know, I don't think that whether you expand it, you keep it where it is, it's still going to be awesome. You know, people are going to buy the tickets. The passion, the enthusiasm for the game of football has never been greater. And it won't be diminished whatsoever, no matter what happens with the playoff system.
Just spot the damn ball. Spot the ball.
I said we didn't have a shot last year, and we ran through all those bastards. I didn't think they had a shot either once they lost to Ole Miss. But they did it, Shane. And that's what they're saying now. Oh, God, at Michigan, at Georgia, Texas. Mm-hmm. Oh, my Lord. That's before you get to Ole Miss and A&M, you know. But I like this message from Brent Venables. And we'll get to some of these other coaches later, but I think Venables and maybe John Summerall are about the only ones that I don't hear bitching about this 9-game SEC schedule.
Yeah, because they're going to be dishing out some losses, right? You know? So, Mike, the day and age of going undefeated is behind us. This is a tougher conference. We've got, you know, an additional SEC game, which means You know, 8 more losses are going to be handed out in this conference, Mike. So, yeah, I do not feel like that Venables is worried, and rightfully so. It's July. He's got a good football team. I felt the confidence in the air, right? John Mateer came over our table. I was like, dude, this guy's winning a Heisman. Yeah. You know, so, yeah, that's just the kind of attitude they had coming into this thing. And that's the kind of attitude you have to have. If you're so worried about what the end of the season looks like, you're going to overlook what the start of the season looks like. And that's where the mistakes are made. That's where teams ultimately get left out. So Oklahoma can't afford to do that. You've already said it yourself. This is a daunting schedule, especially the first 6 games. So they've got to hit the ground running, man.
Well, who it sounds like, Shane, will be hitting the ground running before long.
Yeah.
Is old Ahmad Hardy. So here's the official update from Drink. Let's get it straight from the horse's mouth here, Shane.
Ahmad has been medically cleared from the bullet that struck him, and he is on the road to recovery. He did have the bullet did strike a bone in his body, and that has been fully healed and cleared. And today was his first day back towards a full recovery. We anticipate that he will make a recovery. What that recovery will look like after having a bullet, strike you is still to be determined. We do not know exactly what the return to play progression is because there's not a lot of literature and data on this, but we are utilizing our medical team along with our athletic performance team and nutrition to approach this at a very good pace. We do anticipate that this return to play protocol could take anywhere between 5 to 8 weeks. And at the end of the 8 weeks, we still don't know what his recovery will be from is he the same Ahmad Hardy that was last year? My anticipation and what I've seen, the way he's attacked his rehab, he's going to be a better Ahmad Hardy than when he was before. And I'm very proud of the way that he's approached his recovery. I'm not sure that his riding horses was part of the recovery protocol that his surgeon had in place. But, hell, John Wayne rode after he'd been shot. He turned out all right. So Ahmad Hardy's trying the same approach.
He's already back on the saddle, Shane.
Was he there? Drink? I didn't even know if he was still there. Or, you know, so. No, so, I was looking. No, so,
I saw him in the gym, Shane. You should have been down there with me.
Yeah. I ain't got time for that. September 20th is 8 weeks. So if that were the case, you're looking at potential worst case scenario, a Mississippi State game on the road, which I would imagine they would hold him until October 3rd, Florida Gators at home. But what do I know? That's just worst case scenario. Best case scenario, he may be there week one. You know, I would imagine Hardy wants to get out there. He's got a lot to prove. He chose to come back, Mike, right? He chose to be here. And I think he has some special things he wants to do over in Columbia.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's interesting. And I understand now why I was so confused just reading it back because it sounds promising. It kind of sounds like we don't know when he's going to be back.
Yeah.
He could have said a lot worse. You know, he could have been like, well, we'll see, but at least he's given some kind of update.
I don't like the 5 to 8 and this blah, blah, blah. Right. Give me 5 to 8. All right. If it's 5 to 10, tell me 5 to 10, you know? So what does the blah, blah, blah look like? So we don't know. And we don't know how his body's going to react and what kind of shape he's in. So I would imagine that he'll be fine, but you know, they did bring the other running back, you know.
But don't you think, Shane, that again, I don't know if you remember from the Athlon, they were like, yeah, this Ahmad Hardy.
Yeah.
Best back in the SEC in 5-10 years, something like that. So again, he's got an incredible reputation and it's well earned. It's not like, no offense to any of these recruits, you know, that come in and they're like, oh, buddy, this is the next Herschel Walker, and then he can't play a lick. Like, we've already seen this guy. He's led the SEC in rushing. We know he could play. To me, football's the ultimate team game, and I know running backs, you could. Yeah, I think Jamal Roberts, I've already predicted this. If he has to play the whole year, he's going to be a top five rusher in this conference. I think he's that good. So they've got a hell of an option too. But if he is back for, let's just say, the majority of the SEC season, which based on what Drink just said, I have no reason to believe he will not be. If he's back for the majority of the SEC season, whatever that technically means to you, I think Missouri probably wins a game or two more than I anticipated. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. And a little bit of a spin zone here, Mike, is what if he does sit out for September? I mean, Ahmad Hardy is a bell cow. He's a 30 carry back per Saturday. And you're telling me he's going to rest a month before he has to come out there and actually do anything? I'm just saying, you know, you're worried.
Derrick Henry 2.0.
Yeah.
When he just went wild on everybody.
Well, we were like, Hardy maybe wore down at the end of the season last year, but he'll be just warming up when they finally get to see him. And then the back half of that schedule, Texas, Georgia, and Oklahoma, arguably three of the top five defenses in this conference, they're about to get a whole bit of Hardy here, you know, a healthy guy.
Shane, if this damn works, we're going to see next year. Texas and Georgia, and all, they're going to get this $1 million running back and be like,
yeah,
he's sitting the first month. You know,
like, that's the move. They're always afraid, like, what happens if they sit at the end? It's like, hey, a little reverse side. What if we sit him at the beginning? don't get your guy shot for this, you know?
No, I'm just talking about the rest. And then one other thing from Drake, I thought it was pretty interesting. Again, you know, you can tell he's kind of always biting his tongue to a degree.
Yeah.
But they asked him, Shane, they asked him, what would you change? And he was like, all right, F it. I got to say my piece on this one.
Travis Tindall, ESPN Austin. Coach, if you could change one thing in college football in today's climate, what would that be?
So I'm a math person. At any time you have more than one variable in an equation, there's no solution to it. And right now we currently have three variables in any type of solution, and that's an unlimited cap, it's an unlimited transfer, and unlimited eligibility. And before anybody tells me that we have eligibility rules, I think they need to look within the league and see that we've had multiple years where multiple people have sued and won multiple years of eligibility. So anytime you have those three variables, you have no solution, and you're going to have a continued inflation of liquidity within the market, and that's unsustainable. I think our job is to protect and advocate for our student athletes to become the best version of themselves. And in doing that, there has to be guardrails in what they're given. And right now there are no guardrails. And instead of there being people who can help guide them along the way, we've allowed a lot of unintended consequences and bad actors into athletics and into the people into players' lives. And I think that's an unfortunate thing. There's going to be long-term consequences for these student athletes as well as college universities. And we don't see those right now, but it doesn't mean they're not coming. And so I'm a proponent for getting some sort of solutions to those variables. But as long as there's a continued three variables that are unsolvable, there is no solution to the problem. And we can talk about media rights and lawsuits and all the different things at a macro level that we want, but at a micro level, those are the three biggest issues.
That's exactly what Shane sounds like after you give him a bourbon or two.
Here's where they messed up. I'm that guy, right? You know, just solving the world's problems at the 11th hour. But what do you think,
man? And then comes up with the idea, brilliant idea of using straws as a toothpick.
yeah. What is that it? I just made a deal like with my brain cells. I can only use one of you today. Which one is it? I think we go with the straw.
Well, speaking of someone that may be turning the narrative, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Old Will Stein, he's trying to turn the narrative in old Lexington.
Hey, Will, Adam Luckett, Kentucky Sports Radio. You said you came here because you can believe you can win here. Why is that? Kentucky historically has fought against the narrative, against perception. Why do you think you can win big here?
This is going to sound like really, I think because of me, to be honest. I think because of me. I think I know what it takes. I've seen it at the highest levels. I know what it takes to recruit at this level. And you just got to believe, man. You just got to put the ball down and play. There's not really else to be said. Is it going to happen overnight? I don't know. I really don't. If I had a crystal ball, everybody in this room would be really, really rich right now. I don't. And so the best determination of if what you're doing is working is putting the ball down and playing football. And so there's going to be bumps in the road. I mentioned it in the speech. Like, I'm prepared for tough moments and tough times. I've succumbed to that in our process, right? I already do self-talk myself about, all right, how can I stay neutral? When stuff's bad, I can stay as neutral as possible and be very diplomatic in my approach. So that's why. I mean, growing up a fan is great. It is one thing, but I know the players that we can get here. I know that we can recruit north, south, and east. People come to Lexington and love it. I mean, the longer I live there, the longer I'm like, wow, this place is incredible. It's got everything that you want. Great food, great nightlife, great community, great university. It's safe. You got Big Blue Nation. It takes some TLC, and you got to go attack. You can't sit back and wait. That's one thing I refuse to do at Kentucky is to wait. And so I'm really excited about our administration, the direction that it's going. Again, I said I was so fired up that Mitch brought me here. I'm also excited about what the future holds. And so that's why I'm excited. That's why I believe. Or else I wouldn't have taken the job. I would have stayed out at Oregon and coached Dante and stayed out there.
Shane, is that you on the golf course? You got your ball. You're like, why is this going in the damn hole?
Because it's me. Yeah. I talked to it. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if you watch that new Will Ferrell golf show, but that's me talking to my golf ball. Two things that stood out now that I've re-listened to this was the north, south, and east. So apparently you can't recruit west of Lexington. And Luckett asked this question. So that, I mean, if you got your tinfoil hat, was this all a setup, Mike? You know, was this a setup?
Well, I think out west of Kentucky is, we all know that's our farm boys and,
yeah,
you know, they're not many good football players out there.
Whoa!
Other than some Iowa linemen.
Yeah, they need them. The big blue wall.
That they do. They're going to need them to navigate this schedule, aren't they?
I joke. Listen, I like it. I mean, this is what you have. We were talking about Kentucky this week, you know?
Yeah.
There's a few teams we weren't talking about. Vanderbilt. We weren't talking about Mississippi State. And it's not that Arkansas. We should be. Arkansas, right. We're talking about Kentucky because he won the podium. You got to win. You got to win the media over. You got to win the fans over. Your name's got to get out there or kids aren't going to want to come play with you. So I like this approach, right? It's better than Stoops giving you the same old shit every time.
Right. Well, and you know what's same old I do like? Hmm? Carl giving us money. Shout out, Carl.
Well, thank you, Carl.
Was Drake and Mizzou the first to pay high school kids? I believe so. I mean, that was kind of interesting how that all – it's my understanding, and again, they changed
California
everything.
Was first, but
I remember, see, Missouri changed the law where if you're from the state and you sign with Missouri,
mm-hmm.
even if you're still in high school, you could start getting the payments.
Right.
It wasn't like they were just paying kids and then go to Missouri. It was, you know, you get your money 6 months early is essentially my understanding.
Yeah,
well, again, and I guess technically that's paying them, but
we talked about it.
I would say that's smart governing.
But then they all follow suit, right? Yeah. Saban got on the phone real quick. Hey, we gotta get this figured out in Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was an issue once Missouri started doing it. You know what?
Absolutely. It's one thing to be California. It's another when it's in your conference.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then one final one. Again, so this is the biggest issue I have with old Will Stein. Why the hell did you hire Joe Sloan? I actually like this answer, Shane.
Considering you're an offensive-minded coach, what is that sharing of responsibilities, if that makes sense, between you and Joe Sloan? Like, what will he be doing to contribute in terms of game planning and stuff like that?
Well, my goal now isn't to be the best play caller in the country and all that. It really isn't my job, and my goal is to be the best head coach in the country. So, you know, Joe's having the play calling ability on Saturdays. We'll build the game plan up together. But I have to be involved in all facets of our program. There's just too much going on to only worry about the offense. You know, I think the last guy to win a national championship calling plays was Jimbo in 2013 or whenever that was. So try to have a holistic approach to our program, trust my guys that I hired that are high IQ, high character people that know what it takes to win at this level in this league specifically. I obviously will have my hand in the offense and making sure that it is running the way that I want it to, but there's also about freedom of thought. You know, the best staffs I've been on, it wasn't just me. You know, I think that's the misconception around college football. It's one person. It can't just be one person. It takes a village. It takes your coordinators, your passing game coordinators, your offensive line coach. Everybody in our organization has freedom of thought and has the ability to speak up and add to the pot of ideas. And it's ultimately my decision and Joe's decision of what we're actually going to call on Saturdays. So, but no, Joe's, he's elite, and I'm glad he's a Wildcat.
Yeah, I like that, Shane. Again, he realized first time job. Yeah, he's an elite play caller, but if you put that on his plate too, which damn near all these guys want to do when they're a play caller, yeah, that's what got me here. That's what they say, you know, but he's recognizing that he's got to be responsible for everything now. And it seems like a lot of these guys don't recognize that right off the bat for whatever reason.
Yeah. But with all those new coaches, right, there's going to be some growing pains. And I do wonder a little bit, because sometimes with those new coaches, they give a little too much leash. Does that make sense? And then all of a sudden you say, hey, I'm taking over this, or we got a head coach of this now, you know? So,
right.
So keep your eyes peeled. Hopefully everything works out. We never give Stein this opportunity. Maybe he just created the perfect coaching, family here, but if he missed, we're going to judge accordingly.
Well, that's the beautiful thing. He can just take it at any point. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't know that you can assign an offensive coordinator in the middle of the year.
No.
But you could remove one.
Yes, you can.
you know what we can't remove?
Row Tide.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Shout out, Steven.
Thank you, Cuz.
Thanks for all the content. Y'all represented the Cousins well in old Tampa.
Yeah, when they said a Bamer got dragged down. I was like, damn it, Steven Up got caught. He got caught in the lobby.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that wasn't Steven Up. You know what?
Oh, me too, man. It was a great – I mean, it was – I'm still unfolding everything, and I'm glad that we're kind of doing this rewind so that there were some conversations that would happen that you wouldn't catch till the next day. I'd go to reply to a tweet, and then it says 19 hours ago. It's like, oh, shit, you know, that was a day ago. So I appreciate that, man. Some good content here.
Yeah, and I also, you know, on a similar point, I feel bad because I would do interviews with people, mm-hmm. and I'd be like, make sure to tag me on it, but and, you know, I help them out, tweet it and stuff. I was too busy working. I didn't catch any of that. And I'll see a video. I'm in the video, and it was like 3 days ago. They're probably like, thanks for the retweet, asshole. You know?
Yeah, I know. I know. And I got hit with quite a bit myself, man, on a smaller scale. But I do appreciate all the media down there. There was – there's some grinders, man, some dogs that were they're working just as hard as we were, man. And I appreciate all the work they did. Because honestly, if it weren't for them, I would know less about these football teams. I learned so much this week, and I think my perception of this league is that this is our year, man. Southeastern Conference is getting back on top, and we got some dudes. We got some real contenders in the SEC this year.
Yeah, and for anybody that missed it, I threw this on all the social channels, but these are all the interviews we got coming. So we're about one row down.
Did anybody get mad that they were a smaller picture like Hayes down here? Did he? If he would have said somebody got fired, we would have moved him up, right? We would have.
See the top row?
Yeah.
I tried to get them all be that size, and then I was like, oh, shit, I got to make them smaller. So then the second row is a little bit smaller, and then I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to make the third. Each row gets progressively smaller because I had to fit everybody in there.
And that's what I was wondering, if they like, damn, how do I get to tier one or tier two, you know?
And I did this, believe it or not, I did this on my cell phone, which is even harder.
No, it's great. It's great. So you've got, out of this list now, you've got, you just put paid up. Coach Beamer, of course. Paul Feinbaum's up. John Mateer's up. Who else Rusty. Am I missing?
I put Rusty Rhodes, first.
You put Rhodes up. Rusty's up. Yep.
That's it right now.
So be sure after this to go over there and give it a thumbs up. You ain't got to listen to the whole thing. I mean, you may not be you may have some beef with John Mateer. Hell, it's 7 minutes long. It can't be that bad. Actually, I thought we had a great time. So please check them out. Give them a thumbs up. Share them with your friends, especially the ones that don't like those guys, you know?
And the number one comment, Shane, Pate, they're like, what the hell's the matter with Pate? That was the photo he wanted. Can you confirm or deny?
I can confirm that he was disappointed. Or he wanted to look disappointed. But then he followed up with his one of his favorite shows or favorite guys to hang out with. And I appreciate Pate taking the time. Not all the bald guys had an opportunity to come to our table. So I was very grateful that the best ones did. Not the losers. Not those loser bald ones. You know who you are.
All right, buddy. Anything else before we hop off?
No, it's so good to be back on. So good to see the cousins. It's time, baby. It's football. Football lights are in the tree. So I'm ready for some action, and we're going to continue to break down SEC Media Days. And man, we got some great news, man. We got some great news coming. We're just not able to release it yet. So just you'll love it. I really do think the fans are going to think this is the best year of that SEC podcast. I promise you.
Wait, hair losers. Maybe we should do something like that, like a football tree. What is, you know?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not a tree, but maybe something else. What could we do?
Yeah, I don't know. I like the Christmas lights thing. Well, we'll think about it. We'll think about it. Maybe we'll think about it. That's off season stuff. Now. Yeah.
All right. Shout out to Cousin Jared, Shane. He gifted a membership to.
Thank you, cuz.
I had it. Screenshot. Let's
see. It's like Christmas. Look at all the gifts that we got going on right here.
Yeah. These grateful cousins. He gifted his membership, Shane, to By Hinton. Welcome
to the family.
Courtesy Jared. And hey, we didn't lose Jared, even though I put Giffen on the spot. I told you he'd be fine, Shane.
He don't care. Jared knows what he's got down there. He's got a national title contender year one with a $75.8 million roster.
Wouldn't that be nice, Shane? Year one title contender? Yeah. Who else can say that?
I feel like, Mike, I will say we discussed a potential salary cap, right? I feel like it's going to happen at some point. Until then, it's buy your team. And if you could buy it, if you got the money for it, do it. I feel like Indiana, they're reaping the benefits right now, but there will come a point when the money tree, I don't know why we're talking about trees so much, stops or at least slows down, and they're going to come back down to earth. But
hey, if you can do it right now, do it. So who knows? LSU may be breaking the mold here.
You know why I think Alabama's going broke?
Why is that?
I assume Stephen Upp stopped giving them NIL money. Yeah. He's giving
only
it to us.
Showing up for the boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen Upp. Roll Tide.
If I had been there, y'all know everyone would have interviewed me.
That's
yeah,
right.
See, that's one of the our favorite things about those interviews is getting stories from people. It's just, yeah. I don't know. Especially like Paul Feinbaum, Jadeveon Clowney story. I mean, who else was getting that?
I love
that
it.
Type of stuff, you know. We could all talk. Who do you like in the SEC? Who's getting fired? I mean, literally everybody's talking about that stuff. Give us a good story. You know what?
We got one that's coming up. Neil, one of my favorite ones from Memphis. He tells a fun story about Reggie White in Memphis showboats. So I could sit around a campfire and listen to that all night long, man. That's what I love.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the Cousin Shade, and I love you, and we'll see you Tuesday. I'll be back with Steven tomorrow, maybe yeah. Marler. Never quite know with that crazy animal. But until then, Shane, we appreciate each and every one of them, and we'll catch them on the next one. Stay locked in. Lots of interviews coming.
All right. See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.